It's Tuesday night and time to talk Chadron State football with the head coach. It's the Jay Long Show, presented by Chadron Glass and Windows.
Cut back into him and he hit him perfectly and the ball bounced out, hit Sandersfeld, and then there was about two or three great blocks by some young football players and we ended up scoring a touchdown, which created a huge, huge momentum. That when you go back and you watch film, you know, I guess the first thing he shows is that, you know, it's never as bad as you think it is and it's never as good as you think it is. But, you know, the main takeaway was we played really well in the second half against a top team.
Here's your host, the voice of the Eagles, Dave Collins.
We've got head coach Jay Long in the studio once again for our weekly Tuesday night show with the Chadron State football head coach. Jay, glad to have you in again to fill us in on the team, look back at the Utah Tech game and ahead to Black Hills State. Let's start with the Utah Tech game. CSC played a great first half of football on defense. It was a 7-7 game at halftime and against a Division I team out of the WAC. You had held these guys to just 134 yards of passing offense at that point. They call themselves the spread and shred offense team, and you guys weren't letting them do much of any of that in the first half.
I think that, you know, Dave, we really went out and just executed our game plan that first half. In our game plan, we wanted to try to keep it simple. We wanted to keep everything in front of us and eliminate the deep ball, and then we needed to tackle and rally on all the short passes. And, you know, we did a great job of that in the first half defensively. And, you know, offensively, what we wanted to do is we wanted to, protect our quarterback. And then also we wanted to get Jalen Starks running downhill. And we got that going really well. Also, we wanted to find ways to score. Whatever is working for us during the game, that's what we wanted to build upon. And we had a really good combination of Jalen going downhill and then running some RPO off of it. And I was really happy with how we executed that first half. And in our special teams also was another a plus in that first half too.
Coach, in the second half, was it kind of a case of a D2 team facing D1 and maybe it got worn down a little bit and they were starting to find some open pockets in the field, downfield, and get the ball slinging around a little bit?
You know, Dave, that's one of the things that we did talk about. I mean, when you're talking the difference between FCS and D2, it is double scholarships. And when you have double scholarships, it isn't necessarily your top guys. It is where you start running into your twos is where they have more depth. You see it on TV also when the FCS teams are playing the FBS teams. And I don't know if that particularly was the case. When you look at the second half of what went wrong, our game plan, when we talked about our guys, they played hard. I mean, they played hard the whole game. But that second half, playing hard is just it's not good enough. We have to execute also. And it was a combination of things, and it just seemed to hit us just bam, bam, bam. And we first thing we did, was we had some turnovers, and you can't win games when you turn over the football. Then that gave the momentum to them offensively. We had a couple coverage breakdowns, and then boom, they scored off of that. And then the third thing was we had a special teams breakdown where we had a snap get dribble back. Our punter actually did a really good job of getting it off, but it was only a 6-yard punt. Those three things is something that really, that's what turned the tide in the second half. When you look at it, they're all fixable. They're all things that we're going to continue to work on and continue to fix. And Dave, if we did get wore down, I didn't see it effort-wise on our team. I would say our guys, they worked hard. We just got to execute. Hard work is not enough. And, I think that's something that we have really stressed this week, and we're going to continue to stress it. And that's, we knew going into these first 2 weeks that we were going to be playing two really good football teams.
Yeah.
Angelo State, they just beat another top 10 team in Colorado School of Mines this week. And, so they're ranked, I think, about fifth or fourth this year, season. And then the next one, when you play an FCS team, you need the ball to roll your way a couple times, but you also need to put four full quarters together. Cause, with a team that is an FCS, if you give them, let them utilize their talent, then they will. And I think that we did that in that second half.
Tough to play an FCS team on the road and get a win when you're shorthanded three really good players on defense too. And Brendan Bramer, JJ Hare, Javonte Hare, and Joey Guile. You came in with those three guys missing in action for now, and then also it looks like maybe into the extended future too. Some guys did step up and have to take on those roles. Maybe highlight those guys and the difficulties of having to go against a team that throws it as much as them without three of your top guys.
And really, you know, it comes down to then they were the guys we put in there would have been guys that could have rotated in and took off some reps off of our starters. But you know, BJ Kennard stepped in, and he had a great two games, and he's something, a guy that was going to continue to grow and continue to get better. He did not redshirt last year, so he's a true sophomore. But he is a guy that stepped in for JJ and is really, like I said, done a great job, and he's going to continue to as the season progresses. For Joey is Richie McCormick, and I mean, man, he had a great game. 14 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, interception. I mean, he's a guy that really did stood out in the game and acted like he belonged on the football field. That was Coach Furrier's last recruit before he left, and thank you, Coach Furrier, for that one, because he's a good one. And then the other one for Brendan Bramer has been Harvey Reynolds. Harvey's been a kid that's really put in his time. We talk about developmental players all the time. Harvey has been one of those developmental players. Came in as a freshman, redshirted. Next year, we tried, he worked on getting the bus. Sometimes he made it, sometimes he didn't. Then the next year after that, he's grown, and now we're finally starting to get some reps out of him and some production. He's not just going out there. He's going out there and producing. So really proud of Harvey on him and really, happy for him, because we talk about, when one guy goes down, we can't have a letdown. And he's came in and really did a good job. The other person that is, he was already out there, but Dax Girardi has really stepped up with Bramer's absence. Bramer was not just only a top player back there, but Bramer is also a guy that was our vocal leader in the secondary.
Yeah.
And Dax is one of a very smart kid. I think his ACT was either 30 or 32. Just smart, I guess I'll put it that way. It was very high, and he was a smart kid. He is a smart kid. And he definitely is the voice back there. If you look at things that we could have done better, or wish things I could have changed, Dax did take 91 reps in a game.
Wow.
And if you look at what the offense did, they threw the ball deep every single play. And that would be basically about 91 40-yard sprints. And that's too much on a body. And we are going to move around some things again on special teams to hopefully be able to eliminate that down. But we're also going to try some look at maybe some more younger players to be able to get in that rotation, just to be able to take a few reps off of his body.
Wow, yeah, good trio there that stepped in for you, Coach. Good to hear about those guys stepping up, and Dax back from the injury. Nice to see. And let's talk Richie McCormick a little bit more. He's the only true freshman that is traveling this year, and it's really an honor at the Shadron State program. If you're a true freshman and you travel and you play, you're really showing a lot of really good things. So I imagine Richie had a great camp, and he's already shown up a lot in two games, his first two college games ever.
Yeah, he's very, very twitchy. I mean, he's a kid that can just move very well, sees the ball. I also, Coach Sassy put together, I think it's been 2 years now, with our new defensive scheme, and it really allows us linebackers just to be instinctual, and they have rules, and they have that they understand, but they're also able to just go out and be an athlete. And Richie has been a guy that's been definitely able to take advantage of that.
One of the other guys who made a lot of plays the other night at Utah Tech on your defensive line was Hunter O'Connor. Yeah. He was around the quarterback a ton, a lot of pressure. Let's talk about Hunter's effort a little bit. Two good games for him to start the year.
Yeah, we talked a little bit before the broadcast here, and Hunter and Xavier and Dax, all three of those guys were freshmen in 2020, and that was the COVID year, and we got those four bonus games, and nobody had to redshirt. Everybody could play.
Yeah.
And those three players are three of our top players on our defense, and they were able to utilize those first four games of 2020 and been able to just build upon it each year. And Hunter's done an outstanding job the past 2 weeks. He's been getting in that backfield a ton and executing his job, and he fits that mold of an old school defensive player, and he's a tough kid. And this last week, he kind of got an earful from the coaching staff. He got a late hit on the quarterback. And, you know, it's one of them things that if you had been playing in the 90s, we'd been like, that's the way you do it. Go, that's it. Keep it going.
Yeah.
And, but in the new world, you know, we saw the Texas game versus Alabama. That quarterback, it's just such a fine line. And, Dave, that fine line is very hard to coach. It's hard for us coaches to coach it. I know that, you know, in his instance this last week, you know, the quarterback drew a pick. And the refs, I don't know if you guys know this also, because we always say play through the whistle. Well, a lot of times the officials do not blow whistles. And that was one of those plays that the play didn't blow the whistle. Well, and you see a guy going hard, you're going hard. And, you know, he hit him. And it's one of them where we got to continue to coach our guys. He's got to continue to educate them, because it's one of those things that does change and affect the game. But to go back to what you originally said, not to finish on negative, he has been a beast in the backfield, and he's a guy that as the season progresses, he needs to continue to get better.
Coach Long on our Tuesday show. Coach, is it one of those things now that you said it's difficult to coach the fine line of defense and hitting and things like that? Has it become a situation where you have to kind of accept that you're going to have maybe one or two of those a game that just are frustrating, and you have to deal with the 15-yard penalty because it is so hard, and because the officiating, quite honestly, at every level seems to be inconsistent on what's a roughing the passer and what's not, even in the NFL.
You know, it's a weird one. The other example was Utah Tech. They got one on us, and it was a very unique one. The guy just jumped. When he came down, his hands hit the quarterback's helmet, and, you know, that's a flag. The other one was another unique one was Angelo State with Taven Bray. The quarterback had just broken a tackle, and then another guy, I think it was Joey, was pulling him down, and Bray hit him. And after he had just broken a tackle, and they called that one a personal foul, I think by rule it probably was, but also the quarterback just broke a tackle, and another guy was dragging him down. How do you coach your guys not to continue to bring him down to the ground? And those are things, like I said, we just got to continue to educate. It is just part of the game, and as coaches, we got to decide, you know, are they effort ones, or are they being, you know, just mental error ones? And each one, I think, is going to be different, Dave, and you'll see it constantly on Saturdays when you're watching football on TV. You'll constantly see it on Sundays, is that, you know, they just, the focus is protecting that quarterback, and, you know, our guys just, we got to continue to educate them, and we'll continue to get better with it.
Coach Long on the Tuesday night show. Jay, let's switch over now to the offensive side for CSC. You guys have faced that really, really stout Angelo State defense and the Division I Utah Tech Trailblazer defense too. So a couple of tough ones. So far, one touchdown and a field goal in two games. Do you still see some progression? Did you see some progression, I guess, at Utah Tech, despite it not equaling very many points?
You know, Dave, that answer without a doubt is yes. And I know you asked me this question on the radio after the game, and it's hard to see positive when the game score ends up like that. You're trying to think what went wrong and how do we fix it as a coach. And now that we've had a couple days to be able to relook at it, I've been able to meet with all the coaches. You can go and you can watch film. Yes, there is growth, and that's very important. And, you know, I mean, when we signed this contract, I think we signed this contract 3 years ago. You know, we've played three FCS games in my era here since 2012. You know, we lost to Missouri State. We were driving to go win the game, and we ended up, you know, they got some pressure on our quarterback. We threw an interception. We lost by a touchdown. Then the other one was Idaho State, and we kicked an onside. And Dave, I still think to this day, if we'd got that onside, we'd have marched straight down and scored, because we had all the momentum, and we ended up losing by less than a touchdown in that one also. And, you know, that was what we were also, you know, thinking when we signed this game. And, you know, a couple things have kind of changed with that. You know, our offense, when you look at our offense going in, we had four guys that only had that had over 100 reps in a game. And we have some talent. We have some guys that are definitely going to be great players for us. You know, it just is different. Practicing games are different. And when teams, when you're playing against really fast defenses, you know, you as a inexperienced player, a lot of times those kids have a tentative to not play as fast because they're still trying to read. You know, as we get better, the more game reps you get, you realize, and the more confidence you get, you can can play fast. And when you look at us this week, we got better. And that's something that, you know, we have to continue to stress is get better, because now we're getting less and less with those excuses. Now we are getting more where we have now the experience of those two games against two top defenses. I think Angela is going to be probably the best defense we're going to see.
Yeah.
Dixie is right there. You know, what that does is it gives us that confidence that, hey, we can do some good things against a great defense. Now we need to go out and we just need to execute that game plan. And it allows Coach Smith to find out what we do well also in his play calling. So to answer your question bluntly, yes. I know that statistically maybe you're not score-wise, it doesn't show it, but the answer is a definite yes. And it's something we're going to continue to build upon. And we need to be sharp and show it this week.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to ask you the question, because as we talked about last week at Angelo, the statistics show one thing, but you got to go deeper to understand a football team and a situation. And so great explanation on what you're seeing with the offense. And you talked about offensive line too, Coach, you wanted to see them grow. They played a really big and tough D-line this week as well. Do you feel like you saw some improvement from Angelo to Utah Tech in that O-line too?
Yeah, the answer is just ditto what I just said. I they are growing. We are rotating the O-line. First time in my career I've ever rotated O-line. And Dave, I kind of like it. It's just kind of interesting because I've been an O-line coach for 20 plus years, and change is hard, for guys. But we have been rotating, especially these first games when it's been hot, it has been a benefit. And I think that we are getting younger guys ready to play. I think last game we played 7 offensive linemen. The game before we played 6. So yes, they are progressing. We need to still get better, and we will with that. So I appreciate you asking that question.
So you can teach an old dog new tricks, is what you're saying.
the worst thing a coach can ever say is, this is the way we've always done it. And because we have new teams every year, we have new situations, you got to continue to grow. And that's something that, it's I guess why you do it, why you coach, is you want to continue to learn. You want to continue to get your kids better, because at the end of the day, you want your kids to play at a better level than what their talent is. That's right now what we're really stressing and trying to do.
All right, let's look in at special teams now. Coach, the Hammer Award, the weekly special teams honor voted by the team itself. Who'd the team pick?
It was Dylan Soule. Dylan Soule was the guy. Dylan, we had numerous guys get brought up for the Hammer, nominated by the team, which is good. It shows the week before versus Angelo, we only got really two to three. And this week, we had numerous guys. And by having numerous guys, it shows that we're starting to execute better on special teams. Our field position was better. Our punt team, the week before, Dixie has they have a real dynamic returner, and we took 10 yards off of their punt average, which was really good. And it was because we kept stressing the protection on their punt team, so our special teams, we won that battle this week. That goal, that was good. But Dylan Soule, just he had about two or three just effort plays, and we call them Eagle effort plays. And the team saw it, the team recognized it, and team voted for him. It was unanimous, so really proud of him.
Yeah, Dylan seems to stand out a lot on special teams. 46 when you're watching the kickoffs and punts and things this weekend at Elliott Field. And Coach, you mentioned early in the talk, Brody Eisenbron running down that punt snap that went down inside your 5.
Yeah.
I still don't know how he got that punt off, and I know the net gain wasn't great, but man, that could have been a disaster. The first and goal for Tech, and Brody ran back there and made a nice play.
Yeah, most of the time when that happens, it ends up in 7 points for the other team.
Yeah.
But he did a really good job of scooping up. He's very athletic. I mean, in Sturgis, he was a top soccer player, and obviously a kicker for Sturgis High School. So, I mean, he has some athleticism to him, and he was able to pick that up, and he could be able to realize the rush wasn't coming that hard, and he was able to kick it off. And he had a decent punt on the run. The net gain was 6. And it stinks because it also affected his punt average, because he averaged, I think it was 39, and he was over 40 yards if you eliminate that one. So, he's a guy that, I talked about in the beginning of the year, both him and Gunner. We have two really top players in regards to our special team, our specialists.
Gunner made a field goal, and Brody, yeah, he kicked that ball from inside the five, about a 40-some yard punt, but the net only six, so it looks weird in the stats, but got a good leg on it in big-time adversity inside the five. Coach, injuries and health, let's take a look at the team in that regard. You had a few guys go down during the game. We've already mentioned the three defensive starters that are still out, but what can you tell us on some of the guys that got a little banged up and how they might be for this week?
We did get some bad news. Javonte Harris, he's going to be out for the season. We're still hopeful on Brandon Bramer. And then Joey, we're also he's still day to day. Probably, well, I'll be able to tell you about him on game day. As far as the rest of our team, Dave, you know, we're just got the typical bangs and bruises of season, and that's the good news. The bad news is those other three on defense. But also the good news is that their three backups have been playing real well, so that's good.
We'll check in with you again on Saturday night during the pregame show for the very latest on that situation. And now Black Hills State this week, huge rivalry game. We've talked year after year about all the great tie-ins you have with it and how much it means to the two communities to play each other. What do you know about this year's Yellow Jacket team that you're going to face now that we've gotten into RMAC play?
You know, it's Coach Bresky's going into his third season now, and you know, they're much improved from what they were obviously the first year, but now this, and then also last year. I think that their game plan, you know, you look at is that, you know, they want to run the ball. They're going to do a lot of what we call a pin and pull scheme. And then also they want to take shots. They want to take some deep shots. And then they want to win on defense. And, you know, I think that their game plan is a simplified game plan that the kids understand and the coaches understand. And, you know, they're really patient with their play calling in that regards because of it. And when you look at it, you know, those got to be our keys when we attack our keys for the week. Really excited about the game, Dave. That's probably, the biggest thing we come out of this is it's a night game.
Yeah.
It's at home. And we are extremely excited about it. I mean, when you look at the past 2 weeks, we've spent eight of the 14 days on the road. We put 60 hours on the bus, and our guys are ready to show the home crowd what we're about. And so we are really excited about that.
And, you know, speaking of the home crowd, you and I before the show tonight talked about that Broncos Seahawks game last night. That home crowd was incredible, and they absolutely had a huge impact. I know you want that to happen for us here on Saturday night with the Eagle faithful.
Exactly. I mean, we only get very few we played three night games in a row, but we only get, you know, probably one a season at home night games. So we're very excited about it. We're excited to get the fans there, and we got a bunch of recruits coming too. So we need a great atmosphere, and we need everybody listening to come to the game.
And to help you get geared up for the game, fans, let's finish, Coach, with an event that's brand new to Shadron State. It's going to happen this week. Fan Day is going to be on Thursday. Tell us the details at Fan Day and what folks can expect with that.
You know, Dave, this was something that we talked about in our athletic retreat early in July. We like things to, you know, just give back to the community and things that are just also pretty cool for our athletes also. And one of them that came up was having a fan day. And basically this Thursday at 6:30 at night, we're just going to invite the community to come meet our team and meet really not just our team, but all the athletic teams. And we do autographs, pictures. We'll have some music going and, you know, just have just a fun time, just a meet and greet. For not only the community, but also for our players to be able to, you know, to introduce themselves. When you look at sports, Dave, you know, when you're a wrestler, you know, you've got just a single on. When you're a track athlete, you got just a single on. When you're basketball, you're out there in your uniform. Well, football players, we have all them helmets on. And you know, I got some good-looking guys that they want to meet the community, want to talk to people hidden underneath those helmets. And so come on out and meet our guys. I know that they would really love it. And I think it's going to be a cool event. So please come.
Yeah, you know, there is traveling with the team, get to meet and talk with the guys and the gals in different sports at CSC. There are some terrific people in the athletic department and student-athletes. And it's just so fun to get to know what's behind the jersey, like you said, some personalities, what they're into, where they're from. And they're just such nice kids. And they like that, and they want to show that and share that with our fans.
You know, Dave, my favorite part of being a coach is being around the guys. And, you know, I just kind of complained a little bit about the 60 hours on a bus, 8 hours on the road. But that is also one of the benefits is when you're there, it is just us, and we're together the whole time. And you get to know the guys better. You get to hang out with the guys better. You know, one of the best way to meet people is break bread. Go eat with them and hang out with them. And, you know, during the lunches and dinners, you see who hangs out with each other. I sit with some of the guys. And, you know, we flip each other heck. It's just, it is also So a great team building experience also with it.
So come out to Fan Day, 6:30 at Don Beebe Stadium on Elliott Field. All of Shadron State's teams, coaches, players are all going to be represented there. Bring the kids, bring stuff to get autographed, bring camera phones, all that good stuff. Have a great time, fans. It's going to be a lot of fun on Thursday night. Jay, another great show here tonight. Thanks so much for all the insights. We'll talk to you again Saturday night before the showdown against Black Hill State.
Hey, thank you, Dave, and we appreciate everybody's support. We'll get this thing going. Go Eagles!
The Jay Long Show is presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Whether you're looking to replace one broken window, upgrade your entire home or business with a beautiful new look, or replace a cracked vehicle windshield, you'll find your perfect glass solution at Shadron Glass and Windows. Save money this winter on energy costs and upgrade to more energy-efficient windows and doors. Stop in and see Judd at 139 Main Street or give Shadron Glass and Windows a call at 432-3268. That's 432-3268.
Tune in every Tuesday night during the season for the Jay Long Show, presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Listen on demand by downloading archived shows on the CSC Sports page at panhandlepost.com.